What child is this who, laid to rest on Mary's lap, is sleeping? Whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? This is the one of whom Luke writes in the first chapter of his gospel, saying that in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." You can almost imagine the things that the people said to Joseph at Christmas first. "Well, Joseph, congratulations. Your wife gave to you a boy. What are you going to name him?" Or someone said, "Have you chosen the name, Joseph? Let me guess. Let me guess that you're going to name him Jacob after your father." "No? Oh, then Heli after his maternal grandfather." "No? Then Joseph, you're going to name him Joseph after yourself. And there's going to be another Joseph in the carpenter shop of Nazareth." "No? Well, then what is the baby's name?" And it was then that Joseph said simply and shortly, "Jesus." And someone must have said, "Jesus? You're going to name him Jesus? Why would you name your firstborn son Jesus?" And he couldn't tell, for the reasons were far too complicated for him to explain to anyone, much less in casual conversation. How could he ever explain that he was not really the baby's father? And who would understand if he were to tell these tales of heavenly angels coming and speaking prophecies and revelations? And what credibility would he have if he were to say that an angel had told him, "You shall call his name Jesus"? It certainly was an extraordinary story, although it was not an extraordinary name. Actually, there are a couple of ways of looking at it. You can look at it in terms of the name that was given the baby. And you find, without too very much looking, that it was quite a common name. Not the least bit unusual, there were many others who had the name Jesus in those times. So many, in fact, that it became necessary as the Bethlehem baby grew to adulthood to distinguish which Jesus he was. And every time they said his name, they had to say, "Jesus from Nazareth," because otherwise he might be confused with some other Jesus. In those days, it was often thought an appropriate thing for a woman to name a child Jesus with the hopes that he might become the Messiah. And so there was many a Jewish mother-to-be who suggested to her husband, who would choose the name, that Jesus at least ought be included on the list if in fact it were not the first choice. Even in the Bible, the Bethlehem baby is not the only Jesus. The New Testament was written in Greek, and so it is from the Greek characters or letters that we have transliterated into English the name Jesus. If you were to take the name from Hebrew rather than Greek and also were to transliterate it into English letters, it would be spelled not J-E-S-U-S as it is from Greek, but J-O-S-H-U-A. and would be pronounced Joshua. In fact, one of the major books of the Old Testament is named Joshua. Or if you prefer to say it in Greek, you could say Jesus. So the Bethlehem baby was not the first great leader of the Jewish people who bore that name. Nor, in fact, is he the only one by that name in the New Testament. If you, a moment ago, opened your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, you only need to turn a page or so to Luke chapter 3 and there find the genealogy of the Bethlehem baby. It's too long to take the time to read, but in verse 29 we pick it up, reading about the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Matthath, the son of Levi. Actually, the word Joshua in Luke 3:29 is in Greek precisely the same name, precisely the same word that is translated Jesus in Luke chapter 1. It's just that the translators figured that would be confusing to us English readers, and so instead of putting Jesus in both places, put Jesus in chapter 1 and put Joshua in chapter 3. Even there, that's not the only biblical Jesus or the only one in the New Testament. If you go to the New Testament book of Colossians, to almost the last verse of it, in Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 10, we read Paul's closing to his letter to the church at Colossae. He writes about Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner who greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, receive him. Verse 11, and Jesus, who is called Justice. Another Jesus with the same problem. There were so many around who had the name Jesus that he had to be distinguished from the rest, and so he chose another name. Although his actual name was Jesus, he chose to be called Justice, and that is the name by which he was known. I wonder if Mary and Joseph did not think that it was a poor choice. Did they not wonder that such an unusual child should have such a common name? Did they not think that of all of the choices, there could not perhaps have been a better one? Or do you suppose that they understood from the very beginning that it was not the name that would give meaning to the man, but the man who would give meaning to the name? In any case, the name given the baby was a common, common name. And a human name. Well, you'd expect that. That's not at all surprising that a baby be given a human name. What else would a baby be called? After all, human babies are supposed to have human names. But this baby was different. For he was not only human, he was also God. So you might think that he would instead be named whatever he was called for all of eternity past. If he, in fact, lived as the Son of God forever and ever before, if he was alive for tens of trillions of years and that only a piece of it, he must have been called something. The angels, when they spoke of him, must have had before Christmas some name by which he was called. Why wasn't that name brought from heaven to earth? Instead, he was called by human name, and quite a common one at that. He was called by the name Jesus. Understand that this unique person called Jesus had amazingly combined two persons, two natures in the one person. The human nature and the divine nature. That, of course, has been hotly debated by people who have difficulty believing that the two ever could be combined. There were those in ancient times as well as modern times who say that's simply not possible. God would not taint himself with human flesh, and therefore he may have appeared to be human, but in fact he was only divine. And then there have been others who have said, no, he may have in some ways seemed to have God-like characteristics, but he's really just a man. Just a man. The truth is, he's both. Fully divine and fully human. So if it were theoretically possible to take away all of the humanity of Jesus and leave all that is left, that which would be left would be totally and fully and absolutely, completely and unquestionably God. Or were it possible to somehow theoretically tear away all that is God in the person of Jesus and everything divine be removed? That which would be left behind would be totally and completely and fully and unquestionably human. But they cannot be torn apart. For in the person of Jesus, God and humanity were brought together uniquely and forever inseparably. Even though that be the case, though, when it came to the choosing of a name, God selected a human name. And a common one at that. I think that we typically think of Jesus as so special, and special he is, that his uniqueness could not have gone unnoticed. But apparently that was not the case. The everyday people of Nazareth did not say, "There goes God walking down the street." They saw him as another one of the boys. Even his own family did not see him as particularly spectacular. In fact, they were surprised and even offended when national acclaim came and all the attention drew around him. The people of his province did not honor him as a prophet, and although honored as a prophet in other parts of the country, not in his own, because they couldn't imagine this Jesus, whom they had known for 30 years, to be anything more than they had always thought him to be. All of which is to say that apparently Jesus was very human in the way he talked, in the things that he did, in the friends that he made, in the problems that he faced, so much so that his deity was apparently not clear to those who scrutinized him with careful observance. You may find that disturbing, or you may find it comforting. Comforting that in truth he did come to be like us, and like us he was. And while it is true that he did not sin and was perfect in that regard, it is also true that he was as human as any other boy in the school. He was as much a man as any other guy in the village. He was just as human as you and I are human. The name given the baby was as common and as human as could be. And it was meaningful. There was a meaning to the name. Jesus quite literally means Jehovah is salvation. It's no wonder that Jewish parents so often named their sons Jesus, because they were at a point in their history, as they have been many other times in their history, at praying and yearning for salvation and deliverance. They thought back to those bygone days, oh, how grand they were, when Israel was one of the powers to be reckoned with, when the monarchs and the nobles of all around that part of the world would come and sit at the feet of Solomon just to soak in his wisdom, just to look at the grandeur of all of the things that had been accumulated, and the magnificence of the temple and the gold and all that was there. But those days were long gone. And a heathen empire from across the Mediterranean had come and crushed and broken, had devastated, and they were humiliated. And they prayed for some savior to take away this political oppression and to restore them spiritually to the relationship to God which once they had enjoyed. But for them it was only a hope. It was only a dream. It was only a prayer. Until this Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And then it became more than a hope. It became a promise. So the angel says in Matthew 1:21 that his name shall be called Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. This would become reality. And nobody knew how he was going to do it. Not Mary nor Joseph, the shepherds, not even the wise men ever could have guessed what was in the plans. Oh, maybe they did guess. Maybe they thought, well, he'll be an articulate and forceful speaker. He will be able to sway the crowds and he will be able to argue off the Roman politicians. Or he will be particularly adept with a sword. The best of warriors, absolutely invincible. So when someone else would come along to attack, he could lead all of the soldiers into the battle and he would defeat the Roman armies until they were decimated. Or they might have imagined that he would have some special personal charisma that would unite together all these dissident political groups that were throughout Palestine and would be able to bring them as a central and united force against Roman rule. But who could have imagined in Bethlehem that what he would really do that would be most significant of all is somewhere between his 33rd and 34th birthday be crucified on a Roman cross, the result of an alliance between Roman political and Jewish religious leaders. Whoever would have believed it if they had been told at Christmas first that this is the way it would be and that the baby would not so much bring salvation from Roman rule as salvation from sin's condemnation and would bring life eternal through his death and resurrection. They couldn't have figured it out. I'm sure they couldn't have. But it was there. It was all there in the meaning of the name Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. Jesus. The name that was given to the baby was common, was human, and was full of meaning. But there's a second way of looking at it. Not only looking at it in terms of the name that was given to the baby, but looking at it in terms of the baby who was given to the name. That baby, according to the angel, would have his name called Jesus, and he will be great. That's quite a prediction. For a child not yet conceived, we understand if parents stand at the nursery window and they look in at their newly born child and say, well, I'm not sure whether it'll be a Nobel Prize or a Pulitzer Prize or whether it will be wealth or whether it will be power, but I am sure that my daughter, our son, will be great. But who do you know predicts that a child will be great even before the child is born, even before the child is conceived? But that's the way it was. Oh, and they must have had their doubts along the way. His parents upset that time when they went to Jerusalem when he was 12 years old going for his bar mitzvah and getting separated from the entourage. Who that day thought that he was particularly great, at least amongst that group of people that came from Nazareth? Or when he reached age 30, and he was responsible as the eldest son, in all probability with Joseph gone, he was responsible for Mary and for the rest of the family. And yet he leaves the family business and he goes traveling all about the land. Who thought that that was particularly great? Or the fact that he had no home, no place to lay his head. The fact that he was flat broke most of the time, or that people called him a drunk and criticized the kinds of friends that he hung around with. The religious leaders who were considered the spiritual giants of the land, they were the ones who said that he was demon-possessed. And then he was convicted and condemned, not by one trial, but by two. Not by one legal system, but by two legal systems. Great! He shall be great. Who would think to call Jesus, the one from Nazareth, great? God thought to call him great. Because God saw what he would become. Isn't that just like God? Isn't it just like God not to see what we see? Not to see things as we are, as they are, but to see us the way we will be, the way they will be. It was God who saw in Jesus the Bethlehem baby that he indeed would be great. God saw him and said, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Now God could say that because God knew this son. God knew the baby that was given to the name for a long, long time before the name was given to the baby. God knew his only begotten son who had lived forever in eternity past. You see, the Son of God did not begin at Christmas, did not begin at conception, did not begin. As fully God, the second person of the Godhead, the Trinity, he has lived forever. Lived before there was a Joseph and lived before there was a Mary, lived before there was a cattle's trough, lived before there was a city of Bethlehem, lived before the world was even created. And all that time, he was the Son of the Most High, all-powerful, all-God, all-knowing, all-loving, all-righteous. The baby given to the name was the Son of the Most High. Every now and then, we come across people who feel it is their calling to tell us how great they are. You know, the kind of folk who want to make up your mind for you and want to tell you their titles and their position and their possessions and all of this kind of stuff so that you will be greatly impressed. He wasn't that way at all. He could have come with as splashy an arrival as heaven was capable of producing. He could have announced to all of the world and allowed all of the world to see when he came and stepped down from heaven. He could have dazzled them and us with all the grandeur of the wealth, the omnipotence of all that it means to be God. But he didn't. It was not the way of the Bethlehem baby. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 2 that though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He was and he is the Son of the Most High who took the common human name Jesus and made Jesus the sweetest name that I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name, and that's the reason why we love him so. Jesus is the sweetest name we know. The baby who was given to the name was great, the Son of the Most High. But the list goes on in Luke 1:33 that he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So that the baby that was given the name Jesus will one day be king, King of Kings, King Jesus. Not sure it quite has a ring to it, but it's not an inappropriate combination of words. Most appropriate of all, he came as a king with every right to the throne. And yet he left an option. He let people choose whether or not they wanted to pledge allegiance to him. He let people select whether or not they wanted to follow him. Some did, some did not. There were some who, for political reasons, said, he for certain will be able to set us free from Rome. But when they discovered that that was not his highest priority, they abandoned him. And there were others who were suspicious of his political power and ambition. So suspicious that they were the ones who plotted for his death. And they were the ones who became particularly angry when the script was written and nailed on top of his cross, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. They didn't mind him being called Jesus of Nazareth. So what about that? But King? king of the Jews, they found that to be offensive and repulsive. Do you know that just as Jesus gave options to them then, so he gives options to us now? We may choose whether or not to pledge our allegiance to him as king. Some do. There are people who come to Jesus and say, I will do whatever you say. I will go wherever you send. I will obey any command that you give, and I will make that commitment, Lord Jesus, King Jesus, before you even ask. Whatever you say, I promise I will do. And so they have acknowledged him to be king. And there are others of us who prefer to keep the throne upon our own, to keep the crown upon our own heads and to sit upon the throne that we have in the center of our lives. There are those of us who say, Lord, tell me what you want to do and then I'll weigh it and I'll consider it and I'll give you every thought before I decide. There are those of us who want to maintain the rule and the reign of our own lives rather than acknowledge him to be the king. So we have, in a sense, the same choice that they have. But do you know that that choice will not always be given? There are some then and now who by choice will bow down before him and obey him and acknowledge him to be King Jesus. But there will come a time when everyone will have to so acknowledge him. If not by their choice, then by God's constraint. We're told in Scripture in Philippians 2 that God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, I'd rather do it now. Someday, that common, human, meaningful name of Jesus will be known throughout all of the universe, and then it will be clearly understood that it is the great name of the Son of the Most High, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The name given to the baby given to the name. Actually, the name wasn't much, but it was the man who made the name. You know, we're not much either. But we've been given a name. We've been given the name of Christians. We are called Jesus people. And our gift back to God is to live up to and make of the name that has been given to us all that God wants. What child is this? This is Christ, the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Hymn number 180. Let's sing.